This is KPTZ in Port Townsend, 91.9 FM, streaming worldwide at kptz.org. My name is Jim Burke, and this is County Connections. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Brotherton, Commissioner Greg Brotherton.
Good to see you, Jim.
Good to see you too, Greg. Greg, who do we have with us today, and what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, well, we had our annual retreat where the BOCC meets with our planning commission, the County Planning Commission, last weekend. So I invited our DCD staff planner that's mostly assigned to the Planning Commission, Joel Peterson, as well as the vice chair of the Planning Commission, Matt Cercely, to join me today.
Super. Why don't you two introduce yourselves? Why don't we start with you, Joel?
Thank you, Jim. It's exciting to be here and talk to the public. I'm Joel Peterson. I'm a planner in community development, and I typically do long-range planning, so I'm thinking 20 years in the future most of the time.
I didn't think anybody did that. That's great. And Matt, tell us about yourself a little bit.
I'm Matt Cercely. I've been living here about 20 years, and I've been on the Planning Commission for about 10 years. My second year as the vice chair, and I have a lot of specific interests in the realm of planning and all the different intersections of housing and the environment and resources and all that stuff. I mean, I've always been interested in all of this, so it's quite a learning process, and it's also a way to really contribute and continually engage and work with others. We have a really good commission that works well together, so that's just a huge blessing to be able to participate in democracy and have it function with people being nice and stuff like that.
It's good to hear. Thank you guys for being here. Greg, why don't you get our panel started?
Yep.
You have all the questions. I know nothing.
Okay. Well, you know, planning commissions are really important. Our planning commission, we've actually started giving them a stipend this last year for their work. I'll hand it over in a moment to Joel, who's got most of the institutional knowledge of, you know, why planning commissions and what are their functions under state law as well. But we have 3 planning commissioners from each commissioner district. So there's 3 District 1, 3 District 2, and 3 District 3 commissioners.
Wow. Okay.
For geographic representation. And they do a lot of the heavy work on some of the most, the biggest issues that hit us, you know, the Shoreline Master Program. We're working on recommendations. We have an open hearing they have been instrumental in getting our new package to where it is. Commercial shooting ranges, you know, when that came up, that was it was the Planning Commission that identified some of the new Supreme Court precedents that allowed us to really set some clear laws and react to a GMA challenge on our commercial shooting ranges. You know, marijuana, producer processors, all of these big issues the Planning Commission has a lot of input on. And I think, as Matt says, we have a really nice balance representation of builders and environmental advocates and equity advocates like Matt, and good representation from throughout the county. In District 3, for instance, we have someone from the Coil, we have someone from Port Ludlow, and then we have someone from Quilstein that really represents, you know, ag interests specifically there. So we have a good blend, I think, on our planning commission. And in front of us this year, we have our 10-year periodic update of the comprehensive plan. And they are our kind of our first line of defense in reaching out to the community to figure out what are the changes that we should make. And I don't know, Joel, can you tell?
Offense. We're on offense.
Offense, right. Yes, proactive. Yes. Proactive. Thanks. Yes. Joel, can you tell us a little bit about what are planning commissions? Why do we have one? And maybe talk a little bit about working with our planning commission.
Yeah, sure. Well, I find the history of planning very interesting. So I'll provide a little history of why we have a planning commission. And it generally, a planning commission is a legally mandated group that serves a local government and acts as an advisory group for the local government, as our planning commission does here. It started post-World War I in the 20s.
Wow.
Planning as a idea or ideology or method was really growing in the United States. And the federal government came up with a standard State Zoning Enabling Act, which is later called the Planning Enabling Act. And that was in 1921 when they started to think about how do we standardize public involvement. you think about our 14th Amendment of the Constitution, it talks about due process and representation. And that's where really rubber hits the road, when we're making plans and reaching out to the community for input. So Washington State adopted a new Planning Enabling Act in the 50s, 1959. And then Jefferson County, likewise, updated how our Planning Commission is going to work in 1997 in response to our planning with the State Growth Management Act. So this gives us a chance to have a body of representatives within each district reaching out to our community members with process or plans that community development is thinking about and reaching out to the county. Then the Planning Commission will bring that the consideration of the public to these projects and make recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners. The idea is to make a good record of our findings. What does the community feel about these things? And the more robust record we can develop and bring to the Board of County Commissioners, the better their decisions will be based on the community. So with our upcoming comprehensive plan review, we're looking 20 years into the future from our time periods 2025 to 2045. Wow. How many people might be coming? What kind of housing and infrastructure will we need? And how does the zoning accommodate that? Economic development opportunities, all those things that are related elements get considered. And so we really depend on our Planning Commission, and they do a terrific job at reaching out to the public and bringing back recommendations that are thorough and provide the Board of County Commissioners with a good basis for making their decisions.
Hmm. Great. And Matt, I don't know, can you tell us why you've been on for almost a decade, since 2014, is that right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us why you got on? Why are you still on? What do you see your role on the Planning Commission as? And what are some of the things that you're most proud of having accomplished?
Boy, that's a lot. I mean, it's I could sum it. I don't know how much time we have left, but there was a lot of different things we did. I'm proud of a lot of it.
Minutes.
I mean, even driving around the county, you know, you drive across the Canal Bridge, you can just see multiple things that we've given input on, you know, just from like that vantage point. Think about different protections, think about the different equity considerations, and think about the, you know, protecting people's rights, or just even just the tenor of the culture of, you know, being a respectful, caring place and compassionate place. There's a lot to be proud of. I think that when I'm looking at, I mentioned before that we're the first line of offense, mm-hmm. in a way, but also we are a first line of defense, because if somebody wants to come down on our county for doing something that we think is cool, and we have established it in the public record, mm-hmm. it's stronger. And there's this concept that we work with on the Planning Commission, Joel alluded to it, where we're working with, this is a term that I got from Joel, the cumulative public record. We're mm-hmm. building it. We build it like a castle, and we build it over a long period of time. And we've been defining what we think is the rural character of the county, and the urban areas, the urban you know, the different neighborhood qualities and the crossroads and the characteristics of our county. People know that things are going to change, but we want to keep things about this place that we love, and also protect people from like adverse consequences from like thoughtless development or sprawl, and mm-hmm. That's embodied in our comprehensive plan going back to the beginning. And so when I'm on the commission, I'm thinking about not just what's in front of me, but I'm thinking about the people who were the original commissioners at the beginning of the Growth Management Act. Mm-hmm. When I first moved here, I spent a bunch of time with some of them. You know, I had great respect for a lot of those characters, and they were characters, and they did have opposition, and then there were stories about you go to the Planning Commission meeting and there's a bunch of thugs in dark suits outside from the other side of the Puget Sound, and you got to like muscle your way through into the meeting and stuff like that. It really happened. Mm-hmm. And when I so I was mentored by Bill Miller. He used to live just up, I don't know if he still lives, or I think he might be traveling the country still, but right up Discovery Road, or 19th Street rather, from where we are now. And he was very respected on the state level and all through county government for his diligence, just a real real professor of detail, and he taught me how to write in certain ways, and he really clued me in to the concept that, you know, there's a comprehensive plan update coming up, and you might really want to be on the planning commission. And when I joined, he just helped me out a lot and would just give me, you know, but everybody did. People would give me handouts. People would give me primers and, you know. So it's been a long process from there, but that's how I started with the last comprehensive plan update. And now we've been working ever since and trying to implement it.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions for you because of a couple of things you mentioned. So the thugs in dark suits, are they like developers from somewhere else who are trying to impose some sort of development here that the county is not too keen on?
Well, I guess that's probably, I don't know, probably fair to say. And they just disagreed with
how
us
the county
doing that.
Wanted to
they
disagreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was controversial. It was like a choice. Like, what do we want the Olympic Mountains to look like?
Right.
It was
right,
a big
right,
choice.
Right. And then the other thing was diversity, equity, and inclusion, because you mentioned diversity in the county. Tell me about the commission. How many women or people of color are actually on the commission?
Well,
so it's not a gotcha question, but it sounds like
yeah, we're having a little bit of turnover recently.
Yeah.
We typically have a very diverse set of commissioners. We have 9 planning commissioners and representing all ages and all genders as well.
Yeah.
We have our first renter. I mean, diversity means a lot of different things.
I know,
right?
It does.
So,
absolutely.
Like, we're proud to have our first renter since I've been on there, and we have several women. A couple just kind of stepped off, and I think were replaced with men. So maybe
I'm a renter too. That's two renters.
Two renters, okay.
Oh, I mean,
okay.
You know.
Yeah. There we go.
And, you know, we have a variety of different trades. You know, we have people that have been builders, and we have people that have worked on policy side.
So
and
diversity can mean many things, of course.
Yes.
And it is a particularly white county. I mean, we know this.
Yeah, we did we did put some more inclusive language in the last update of the comprehensive plan, which was nice. I mean, it's a baseline thing to do of decency, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do think it's important to – we could use this opportunity
right here to
encourage people to apply to the commission because
so there's some vacancies.
Because I mean, if there isn't any person,
or not.
Not right now, but
not right now.
Well,
there always are from time to time. Not right now, but when those vacancies come up, there usually aren't
the
very
commission?
Many applications. The other thing I was going to mention was, and you can correct anything I say, but we had at the retreat and at some of our meetings, it was really really special to have Marla Powers, got her name right, from the Port Gamble Squalum Tribe. Mm-hmm. And the thing about the tribal interactions with our government is, and I asked her this question directly because we've always been a little bit cautious about interacting with tribes because we don't want to step out of line and be disrespectful because it's a government. It's a whole nother government,
yeah,
a sovereign government. And so they're supposed to talk to people like Greg, who's the local government official.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to go out of line as an advisory committee. But what Marla Powers told me was that it's really okay for lower-level staff to communicate and for us to work out the things that we want to work out before sending it to the government-to-government meeting. And so that's kind of a new window that has opened, and we really got a free invitation to send emails back and forth to the Port Gamble Squalum Tribe and other. You know, we do have people who live in town who work for the tribes too that will come and present on their behalf in their work role.
And maybe
there's always
an
effort to reach out.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into the weeds.
It's really critical, great. Yeah. And there's a push right now to have a tribal element and more tribal input into our comprehensive plan.
Yep.
I don't know, Joel, can you talk a little bit about? Sure. I guess
I'm going to stop him for a second. I'm just going to say, this is KPTZ in Port Townsend. This is County Connections. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Brotherton, and we're talking with Joel Peterson and Matt Cercely, who are on the Planning Commission for Jefferson County.
And maybe Joel can also
talk about
10
minutes left.
The new housing elements and talking about the different tiers of housing that are required in the new comprehensive plan, some of the new elements that we're going to be adding and modifying.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The main reason for doing these periodic reviews, which we now do every 10 years, is to respond to legislation that the state legislature has developed to improve our communities. Some of that is to increase tribal participation, and we experience great tribal participation at this point, but it formalizes it more, so we'll be talking about that in our update, as well as a lot of changes with housing and looking at the middle housing, that that density of housing more than single family, mm-hmm. a little less than apartment buildings, but that, right. that middle townhome type of housing, how to implement additional housing in our urban growth areas. And there is new information, or new information we'll be putting in the comprehensive plan about climate resiliency. Mm-hmm. And so there's a number of things we're responding to from the state level locally.
Yeah.
And can you go on to talk about the outreach and maybe a little bit of the timeline of the comprehensive plan? Because we really, you know, sooner rather than later, we want to gather a lot, as much public input as we can into right. the...
DJ at kptz.org. If you want to write in right now.
That's great. So, yeah, can you talk a little bit about some of the public outreach?
Yeah, yeah. Just to say, as we describe the Planning Commission as the greatest job, the hardest job you'll ever love, you don't have to be on the Planning Commission to participate. It's the community. We're asking for participation. And this comprehensive plan update will be going from, we're gearing up now, and it'll be due in June of 2025. So we have about 18 months that we're going to be doing extensive outreach. We have websites set up at our Community Development Department, as well as a Planning Commission website that the public can contact us with. And we'll be doing an extensive outreach program as well during this time period.
Great. And then maybe can we go back a little bit? As I said, you know, the Planning Commission has a lot of work that it's reactive to, you know, new code that needs to come, comprehensive update that needs to come. But our Planning Commission, to our benefit as a community, is really proactive, especially about housing issues. They've got a bunch of subcommittees. One of those processes that has come through and that is manifest now is the stock plans. And I was wondering if you guys could maybe go back a little bit to the Matt, how it started, you know, how the gleam in the eye, and maybe Joel, you can talk a little bit after that about how it moved through staff and Planning Commission interaction to become where it is now.
Well, we developed a list. This is a point of time when the director was Brent Butler, who's still at the department, and just did a, I think, did a fantastic job at, and especially as being an empathetic public official and kind of understanding what our intent was. We were looking at the different ways of addressing affordable housing, and we began looking at, for a lot of years, we've been looking at some solutions which are extremely difficult to implement because we're trying to basically write into code some of the values that we hold dear that we have in our comprehensive plan. We're trying to make them work in a planning way, and we could talk more about that. But at the same time, we're looking at things that were low-hanging fruit, really attainable things we could do to maybe not mandate affordability, maybe not come up with every single solution. But what we could do is change the market dynamics a little bit by offering some free plans for people who may be on the fence about whether or not to build, or maybe they're really struggling to get enough money to build. But if we can reduce their cost by $1,000 or $2 by providing free plans for small structures that fit our... We just had to come up with something that we felt like... And when we're choosing the plans, we had to be very careful and select carefully and whittle it down from 42 or so down to... To eight, we submitted eight, and
so
we were expecting,
they'd all be to code, et cetera.
Well, they're all to code. I mean, but really, we were looking for accessibility. We wanted it to be something that somebody could age in, if necessary, or you know, just to, if we're going to put public money into something, we wanted something that would be really broadly applicable. And we chose a bunch of those that had the simplest features and were accessible and were beautiful, but you know, we really did shy away from some of the more complex
which
plans.
Made them more affordable, of course,
which makes because that's one of the goals, right? So that's some low-hanging fruit that
we
accomplished it. It's such a victory to be able to accomplish something like that. Now there's 8 plans available. People can use them in different ways.
It's at the department, and so the review that any plans would have to go through at DCD, we're basically taking that burden on to with general fund dollars, essentially,
right,
and going through that review for these 8 plans that were selected, mm-hmm. and some of them were local architects and designers, some of them were from the city of Seattle, I think, mm-hmm. So with that work now, we are put it on our planner's shoulders to do that work for, you know, each of these 8 units. And then that is the cost savings that's passed on to the
So not just the plans themselves, but also the review of the plans is less costly.
Right.
Yeah. So yes, after they come through our department, they're pre-approved. Yeah. They're ready to go. And
oh, wow.
So that brings a prospective homeowner that much further ahead and lowers the cost.
And they're simple, so they can be adaptable, and a lot of them could be used in a modular way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really like to credit Emma Bolin at the city of Port Townsend for driving the subcommittee and the mm-hmm. partnership between the city
and
the
recently
county.
She was at the event where they brought in commissioned, or I don't know what to call it exactly, but they christened, in a sense, the first small house or tiny house on wheels. Tiny house on wheels that was just put in near here just about a month or two ago. And it was like, because it was a new process and the people who manufactured it were involved as well, they made it to code, they made the thicker walls, the better insulation, and all that stuff. And so they accelerated the process where somebody could put something like this on their property.
Mm-hmm.
And it saved the homeowners who put it on their property a lot of money and a lot of time and agony.
And that's inspected by the state, you know, as an RV would be.
Right.
So we're essentially kind of mimicking that, but for kind of custom built on the property, not on wheels.
Right.
I don't know. Joel, can you talk a little bit about the process? About how we got here, what the steps along the way, and the steps in the future?
I wasn't directly involved, so my answer will be brief.
Okay.
But yes, we reached out to architects to submit designs and had criteria, as Matt mentioned, for accessibility and low cost for development or construction. Mm-hmm. And then after doing some public outreach, we selected a subset of those, and then they have been pre-reviewed and have been, the designs are posted on the county website.
Mm-hmm.
And so the process would be a person would select the design they would like and work with the Public Environmental Health Department on septic development. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you hire a builder and get your pre-approved, you get a permit from community development,
mm-hmm.
and that's the process. And
excellent.
It's good.
So that's just one of the things. So we have more. The Planning Commission often brings forward ideas. You know, some of the things that they also do is look at site-specific rezones, comp plan amendments that are on one particular site. So there's a real, the breadth of work, you know, we have to read a lot at the County Commission. The planning commissioners often are reading, 300-page documents again and again and again.
Boy.
Through
lately
readings.
We're writing them.
right.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
We have about a minute and a half left before we're going to have to play our outro music, I'm afraid.
We wanted to talk a little bit about our outro music. We chose Dirty Work by Steely Dan and Matt, who actually, Matt was, I think, the first person on the peninsula I knew years mm-hmm. before I moved out here. I was working on a movie and loved the band Hot Club Sandwich that he was leading and asked if I could use one of your songs for my movie. I think that's my first connection, even before he
Super.
Was on the Planning Commission.
Yeah, yeah.
Ancient history. But he's an excellent musician and pointed something out about Steely Dan that was a great metaphor for...
Okay, so we were talking about what we're doing when we're trying to do something difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do that's difficult, and I'm not going to make any promises here, but I do want to say that if everybody in Jefferson County, if your county commissioners decide to do something cool with regard to planning that represents our values, and somebody else doesn't like it from outside the county or whatever, the way that we stick up for our commissioners is with the cumulative public record.
Mm-hmm.
We add that record, even if you think tiny homes, whatever you support is going to pass, you can add to that public record, and it helps them stand up at the state level or against anybody who would want to challenge us.
Fantastic.
And so the way that we make this sausage is we look just like you got a song. It's like, okay, how am I going to make this song? We have this idea. We want to achieve it. The Steely Dan metaphor is they would bring in session musicians and into the studio. They'd have five drummers play the part. They would select a piece from a different drummer sometimes. If you're listening to their records, you can hear maybe more than one musician on the same track.
Right, right.
And so that's what we do with our – when we're selecting code, we're looking for Washington State code. This is a way that you can help at home. We're looking for a Washington State code that fits a particular thing, and we fit them together to make a song that will stand up according to Washington State law.
Fantastic. I'm afraid we're out of time. Right. This has been County Connections with my co-host, Greg Brotherton. Our guests, Joel Peterson of the Planning Commission for Jefferson County, and Matt Cercely, also of the Planning Commission. This is Steely Dan, Dirty Work. It's going to be followed by Talking Heads, Don't Worry About the Government, just for fun.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you.